use this passage, use these words, Lord, to help us understand your will for our life. And God, it is amazing to me how many times we already know what we want to do, and we think your job is not to tell us the course that we need to run, but we think your job is to bless the course that we've already chosen. And so, Lord, I pray that you will use this passage of Scripture to bring us to the place of repentance so that we can truly turn to you with our whole hearts. And it's in the blessed and holy name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we look at this passage of Scripture that deals with faith, that deals with living it out, in Hebrews chapter 11, it's simply referred to in the Bible as the Hall of Fame chapter. And if you look down through there, it's astounding as all those individuals are mentioned every time. If you look before there's a name, it says, by faith, Abel, by faith, Abraham, by faith, by faith, by faith. And the Lord wants us to live by faith. But what we have to realize is the enemy of living this faith life, the enemy of living it out, is the things that we burden ourselves down with, the weight that we carry, the sin that is a part of our life. And we have to realize that those things make it impossible for us to live the life that God wants us to live. So when we look at verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible just simply says, therefore we also. And when it says we also, it's talking to people who live by faith. Now, just because a person attends church does not mean they live by faith. It just means they attend church. And so what we have to realize is in Hebrews chapter 11, every person that lived by faith had to make a hard life choice. When they're faced with these options, they have to make the decision to do what God says. Now, I just prayed this in prayer, mentioned it, going to say it again over and over and over. The biggest mistake that we can make today is to say, Lord, this is my plan for my life. This is what I'm going to do. And God, your job is to bless it. Your job is to make it go smooth. Your job is to make sure I have everything I need to live this life. And listen, that sounds really good, but it's no more true than a man in the moon. God is not going to say to me, just do whatever you want to, and I'm going to bless you. And so when you look at Hebrews chapter 11, you go back and look, they made hard choices. They made choices to put their life on the line to live out their faith. And so the assumption is then that we would do the same thing. So he says, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And the idea here is, in this passage, is of a stadium that's filled with people. Now, the Bible does not say that people in heaven can see us on earth. But the idea is all of the people that have lived before by faith are cheering for us, saying, listen, I was able to do it. And if I was able to do it, then you're able to do it. And I would offer to you that in this context, that faith is generational. And I know that in my life, when I consider my children, when I consider my grandchildren, I generally make a really good choice. But when I just think about me, myself, and I generally make some pretty bad choices. And so we have to realize then that this faith that we have, this faith is to be passed on to the next generation. And we don't want to pass on some watered down, willy-nilly, can't decide, not sure faith. We want to make our minds up that we're going to pass on a faith that's worthy of these descendants that we have. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, if you look at verse 1, a lot of people say that is the biblical definition of faith. Verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. So we have faith because we believe in Jesus, but we've never seen him. We hope in Jesus, but we've never seen him. But the Bible also says in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So the Bible is trying to get us to realize, listen, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, the question then becomes, well, how pleasing to God do we want to be? Well, I want to be pleasing to God. I'm assuming you do too. But in order to be pleasing to God, we got to have a faith that's fully lived out. We got to have faith in God. We have to believe that He is the one that has called us to this race. He is the one that has empowered us. And so, therefore, we're going to do what he said. Now, if you look back at verse 1, The first thing he said, let us lay aside every weight and sin. Now, here's what you and I have to realize. When we're given this course, we're gonna go on this race. This is what's been set before us. We have to make some personal decisions. And the first decision that we have to make is we're gonna put down the weight. Now, I know that there are a lot of people in this room that can outrun me. If your claim to fame is you can outrun me, you haven't done anything. But I'll tell you this. If I give you 500 pounds of weight, I bet I can outrun you then. Right? I bet I can. And in Hebrews, he's trying to get us to realize we're not going to live out our faith when we're carrying around all these weights. The word actually in the Greek, the word weight is actually the word impediment. And so what we have to realize is when we realize something is going to impede our ability to live out our faith, it is our responsibility to put it down. Now, there's two things. First, it's our responsibility. And second, the Lord will take that weight from us, but he is not going to carry it for us. All right? And so we then have to make the decision. What are we going to do with it? And the admonition of Scripture is put the thing down. Put it down. And I would like to offer again, this is the fourth time I've said it, so this is kind of like the theme here today. You know what the impediment to most people's spiritual walk is? They've never one time in their life considered what God wanted them to do and have no earthly idea how they got in this mess. Can I get a witness? Come on now. Don't get y'all looking at me awfully spiritual back there. Right? Have never one time considered, God, what do you want me to do? Never, not one time. And then they find themselves just at them, woo. And what we have to realize is if we're going to live a life by faith, I cannot say, Lord, this is what I want to do, and I want you to bless it so that I can have a wonderful life. When we live a life by faith, we come to that point when we say, all right, Lord, I've tried it my way. Boop, did not work. I got all the scars to prove it. And God, what do you want to do? God, what do you want me to do? And God wants us to put the weight down. God wants us to look to him. And when we put the weight down, the next thing that we have to put down is equally important. What does the Bible say? What's the next thing that we put down? What is it? I heard one person say it. Everybody's got a Bible back there. What do we put down? Sin. Who puts it down? We do. We put that sin down. And the word sin just means to miss the mark. In other words, it's the word picture in the Bible is a person shooting a bow and arrow. You're aiming at the target. You miss. The idea is we miss the mark that God has set for us. And that mark can be pride. That mark can just be worldliness. That mark that we miss, it can be busyness. It can be anger. It can be malice. It can be anything. And you know what? The devil does not care. The devil does not care. It can be pride. It can be any sin, and the devil does not care. Because you know what? All he wants us to do is miss the mark. For each person in here, it might be something different. But at the end of the day, the devil don't care because the sin accomplishes the same thing. That's why it is paramount that we put down sin. That we make the decision, Lord, I know what your word says. God, I know what the Bible says. And when I know what the Bible says, then I'm going to do it. Because those sins keep us from living out the life that God has set for us. And notice what he said about the sin, about the weight in sin. He said it so easily ensnares us. And the idea is of a rope that gets tangled around your feet. And how many times have you been working on a project and everything is a mess and the first thing you do is stumble and fall and trip over something? I mean, things so easily get wrapped around our feet. And what we have to realize is when there's things wrapped around our feet, it is impossible for us to run the race that God has set for us. Because if you look at what he said, let us run with endurance. Endurance. So it's not a sprint. It's just this race that we run, and we run it with endurance. And that is, the idea is that we're going to continue until we carry out our duty. Whatever has been assigned to us, we're going to do it. Now listen, To live out the life that God has for us is not easy. Our example in verse 2 is going to be Jesus. So it's not easy to live this life. But what we have to realize is it is worth it. It's not easy, but it is worth it. And so what he says is that we have to run our race. Now, I want to just say something here. I want to speak to the individuals in our church that serve as our administrators in Sunday school. Listen, Grace Baptist Church needs you to run your race with endurance. All right? We need you to do your job. We need you to do your job when nobody else in the class other than the teacher wants you to. We still need you to do your job. Because what we have to realize is that there are things that we set out on and we think they're going to be easy. We think that if God's will is for us to do this, we think everybody's going to agree and everybody's going to fall in line. And the truth is that's the furthest thing from the truth. The number one way you can tell most times that you're doing what God wants you to is opposition. And so what we have to do is we have to be committed, because we cannot carry out our task, our assigned duties as a church without doing those things. And I want to beg you, plead with you, run that race with endurance. Because notice it says the race that is set before us. We do not get to choose our track. We do not get to choose our race. I'm not going to retell my testimony. I tried that. It does not work. It does not work. To the young people who are in here, I want to say to you, every time somebody asks you what you want to be when you grow up, if you don't know, you say a follower of Jesus Christ. Listen, we do the devil's work when we ask children, what do you want to be when you grow up? Right? The question is, what does Jesus want you to be when you grow up? The question is, what did Jesus save you to do with your life? And when we do that, we have already helped them understand God has got a race. God has got something that he has called us to. But we also have to teach them that the number one obstacle is going to be weight and sin. You know, in the Bible, we talk about when we sing the song Amazing Grace. The song is, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Right? That word wretch. You know what that word wretch means? The word wretch means a miserable soul. And you know, if we saw our sin as making us miserable, I believe that we would be much more in a position to repent. But just like the Bible says that there is a race, a course that is set before us as believers, there's also a race, a course that's set for us as a church. And we have to acknowledge that as a church, we don't get to determine what we do. We've already been told what to do. The expectation is we're going to do what we're told. And the expectation is we realize that if we don't, we're going to be ineffective. Now, I got something I'm going to need to say, and I need to preface this. And when I preface this, it's because sometimes when somebody has something really difficult to say, they just blurt it out. And it's kind of like, ooh. Now, that happened to me Monday of this week. Monday of this week, I did something foolish. I got up and stepped on the scales. All right? Okay. So the day is not going exceedingly well to begin with. So I got up, I had my prayer time, and it's time to come to work. And so I got up and I started to get dressed, and I cannot make this up because it happened. And so, but this is just you just be glad you're not me. But anyway, I start to button my pants, and the song from the 70s, Take It to the Limit One More Time, starts playing in my mind. Can't make it up. Can't make it up. The Eagles, they're probably not getting a lot of love in Baptist churches today. And some of y'all don't even know who it is, so don't even bother. Just take my word for it. And so then I go to a nursing home. And someone looks at me and says, Brother Jeff, you look like you gained some weight. And I'm like, thank you. And so all the people are walking by that work there, and I at least recognize most of them. And so they're all like, and so she's introducing, this is my pastor. And so I'm shaking hands. They're laughing. We're having a big time with it. And so then, you know, we're shaking hands and say, yeah, I'm her pastor, brother who needs to lose weight. And they're all like, me too, you know. And so we're having a good time. Then she looks at me and says, Brother Jeff, your face is fat. You really are getting fat. I'm like, okay. So I dieted for the rest of the day and got up Tuesday and forgot about it. So I cut back at lunch. That's all I can say. But listen, I told you that because it's a true story. And I, you know, whatever about me and weight. But I need us, those of us who are members of Grace Baptist Church, to like have a moment here. Because I would like to say that even though there are many wonderful things about our church, there's a problem. There is a problem. And there's proof of this problem, and we need to talk about it. Listen, when we talk about the course of our church, there is no church ever that has existed that has ever not had the mandate of reaching people. And I would triple dog dare you to go get your prospect sheets from your Sunday school class that we've been talking about for 2 months and look at the list of names that are on that prospect list. Because a lot of them don't even have any. And listen, we need to realize we're on the wrong course. Notice who I'm pointing at. Notice who I'm pointing at. We're on the wrong course. If somehow we've read our Bibles and thought, hey, I said that prayer when I was 8 and I'm going to heaven when I die and everything's going to be fine, then you're on the wrong track. You're not on the Jesus track. And notice who I'm pointing at. Not on the Jesus track. And you know what the worst thing about, there's no names on the prospect sheet? Nobody cares. Nobody cares. And listen, those people are going to spend eternity in hell forever. They're not going to a slightly less better place than we are. They're going to a place called hell. And they're going to be there forever, for an eternity. And you know what the worst thing about it, not the worst thing about it, is not they're going. The worst thing about it is it's needless. That's the worst thing about it. The worst thing about it is you have to reject love, truth, honesty. You have to reject compassion. You have to reject all that, and you have to choose misery over that. And who's going to tell them if we don't? But if we don't care, why should they? And we have to realize this course, this is what we signed up for at the cross. When we received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we said, Lord, I'm going to run your course. I'm going to do what you've got for me to do. God, I'm going to live the life you want me to live. We acknowledge that we have to put the weight down. We have to put the sin down. We have to acknowledge sin creeps into our life. It comes so slowly through decisions that we make, just inch, until we find ourselves 1,000 miles from the Lord. And we have to realize those sins not only hurt us, those sins are generational. They're passed down, and it just gets worse as it goes along. And at some point, somebody has to say, hey, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And why in the world do you want to get the wages of sin when you can have eternal life? Listen, we have to realize that sins are not bad habits. Sins are not weaknesses. Sins are choices that we make to be in bondage to the lies of the devil. We have to stop blaming other people for our sins. We have to allow ourselves, under the inspiration, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to come to that place when we're willing to confess and repent of every sin in our life, knowing that those sins rob us of spiritual power, knowing that those sins rob us of victory that has already been won. It has already been offered to us. All we have to do is receive it. And we have to tell everybody, hey, the good news is there is no sin. There is no mess. There is no anything caused by sin that can't be untangled by the grace of God. But we have to be willing to be honest. We have to be willing to be honest about our sin. We have to be willing to be honest about ourselves. And we have to love God more than we love sin. In Romans chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, the Bible says, and I want you to listen, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, Adam, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous, Jesus. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but listen, but where sin abounded, grace abounded more." And that is the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is that grace abounds. In verse 21, it says, "So that sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, I want you to listen. The Bible says that grace might reign through righteousness. Well, what does the word righteousness in that verse mean? The word righteousness means to do what God said, when God said, how God said, because God said. And if you have experienced a grace that doesn't cause us, I won't throw myself right in there with you. If you've experienced a grace that doesn't cause us to do what God said, when God said, how God said, because God said, you got the wrong grace. You got a grace that when your heart beats for the last time, you're going to realize something about yourself that you really should know today. That is, you don't have a saving grace. You don't have grace that is going to be there with you, because the Bible makes it abundantly clear. Yes, grace does end in eternal life, but in the meantime, it's lived out righteously. In other words, we want to do what God says. I want to ask you these three questions, and I want you to answer them honestly. And it's not a trick question, so we're not going to raise our hand, but I want you to answer these questions honestly. Has sin robbed your joy? Has it prevented you from being the best husband, wife, son, daughter, friend, coworker that you might be? And is it keeping you from spiritual maturity? I know that when we ask those questions in church, we all want to say, no. But you know what the answer is? Yes. Every person in here, if your joy has never been robbed by your sin, then you really need to meet the Jesus of the Bible. Because that's what sin does. Sin robs our joy. That's why the devil wants us to do it. Sin keeps us from being the best that we can be. That's why the devil wants us to be entangled in it. Sin keeps us from growing in Christ. And that's why the devil wants us to be entangled in it. And so then what we have to realize, the true enemy of our souls is sin. The thing that we have to deal with is sin. Now I want you to turn back to the left in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to begin at verse 17. I want you to turn there. I want you to see this, because there are some things in the Bible that are so awesome, so amazing, you would think I was making them up. If I just read these verses, you'd be like, is that really in the Bible? And I want you to look. I want you to look in your Bible, and I want you to see these words. In Ephesians chapter 4, he is talking to believers, and he is telling us, he is drawing this perfect parallel between the life of grace and the life of sin. All right, so in verse 17, this is Ephesians chapter 4. He said, This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. In other words, don't be like lost people. Don't live like lost people. And this is what he said, in the futility of their mind. In other words, the voidness, the emptiness of their mind. And this is what happens when you walk like the Gentiles walk and you do it in the futility of your mind. What happens is your understanding is darkened, and then you're alienated from the life of God. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about that course, that life that God has for us. But why? It's not because of God, but it's because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. And this is what happens when we start down the sin trail. When you take a step down that trail, something inside of us starts to change. And something as it changes, it's more and more, and the further down it would go, the darker it gets, and it is lived out through the blindness of their heart. Now, this is my illustration right here. Have you ever said to somebody, please don't do that? Don't do that. Don't you know what the Bible says? And what do they always say? You can't tell me what to do. Right? You don't have to do that to go to heaven when you die. Right? Come on now. Y'all getting awfully spiritual. I see that look. I know when y'all are getting spiritual on me. Right? They're like, no. And you know why? It's because of the blindness of the heart. And when your heart becomes blind, you're past feeling. In other words, there's nothing you can say because they don't care. They don't care. And they have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But what is the first word of verse 20? Y'all are not talking today. Y'all are making me work way too hard today. What's the first word of verse 20? But there is a contrasting word, right? But you have not so learned Christ. And what's the first word of verse 21? If. This is a conditional word. If indeed you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. All right, what do you do? Verse 22. Come on now, we're going to have some audience participation. What do you do in verse 22? You put off. That is like taking off a jacket. All right, it is a personal decision that we make. Jesus is not going to come down from heaven and make this decision for us. He empowers us to do it. He commands us to do it, but he's not going to do it. All right? So what does he say? Put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And notice in verse 24 that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Do you understand? Do you see as we look at these passages of Scripture that word righteousness keeps coming up over and over and over? We're made righteous, but we live righteously. And he's telling us, he's drawing the parallel, the difference between the lost and the saved. The lost are on the downward spiral this way, but through righteousness, we're on the upward spiral. So the opposite is this person is going away from God. This person is being drawn to the Lord. And what we have to realize is when we look at verse 2, we don't get to choose this course, but we also don't get to determine where it ends. This is good stuff right here. When you look at verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12, our race does not end at the gates of heaven. Do you know where our race ends? It ends at the feet of Jesus. And I, if we think about honestly what that means, there are, if I just went out to the lost and dying world and said, hey, would you like to spend eternity in a place called paradise, or would you like to spend eternity in a place called hell? It don't take no rocket science to choose, does it? But what we have to realize is we're not trying to get one step inside the gates of heaven. We're trying to get to the feet of Jesus. And listen, if our goal is to get inside the gate, then listen, we're going to do the minimum and get by. But if we honestly believe that our destiny is to land at the feet of Jesus, to bow at the feet of Jesus, then we're going to live our life differently. Because look at verse 2. It says, looking. And that word means to fix your mind upon Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author. And that word means like leader. It means chief. It means first. And the idea is that Jesus is at this race that we're about to run. And in the day when this was written, what they would do is they would have the person who was the best at this. In other words, the last time they had this race, who was the person that won? Who was the world record holder? They would have them standing at the beginning of this race. And it was called the author. The idea is, I can't say it can't be done because there's somebody that did it. So do you see the parallel when he brings Jesus back as the author and the finisher of our faith? Because I cannot sit here and say, you cannot live your life of faith. It's too difficult. It's too hard. The idea is Jesus. Because when it says finisher, that is that same reward from Hebrews chapter 11 that is the rewarder. In other words, the idea is that there's this person, and this person is the example. But this person is also the one who rewards those who run the race. Now, this is my question to you before we finish this up. When you stand before the Lord in eternity, I'm assuming, like me, you want to hear the words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Right? I pray that prayer before. The words I want to hear when I stand before the Lord is, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, in order to hear those words, I'm going to let you use me as an example. In order to hear those words, what do I do? What must I do? What must I do? Y'all know I'm old. You got to speak up. Got to live by faith. Got to live by faith. And I have to acknowledge, it makes no difference what I do in my life. If I don't live by faith, I'm not going to hear those words. Not going to hear those words. And I can honestly say, and I know this is true for many people in this room, the Bible talks about crowns and rewards, and I know that they're there because the Bible says they are, but I'm going to tell you something. I can honestly stand right here today and tell you, I will take whatever the Lord gives me because that's what the Lord wants me to have, and it's fine. But if all I ever got in eternity was, well done, thy good and faithful servant, I'm good. I'll take whatever the Lord has for me. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. But I'm telling you something. It doesn't matter what I get if I don't hear those words. Because I'll always know I left it on the table. But that's what we collectively, the decision we've got to make. Listen, I know that this is amazing. But it happened, so because I was there. But last Sunday when we went over to the rodeo and share, I talked to a man had never heard the words Jesus Christ, had never seen a Bible, had no earthly idea what I was talking about, and that was in Jackson. I wasn't in some country somewhere. It was right over there. We have to live out our, we have to run the race that's set before us. We have to finish it. And our example is Jesus, because it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And it says, despising the shame. And so what we have to realize is our race is not going to be easy. I would like to ask you this. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, didn't he pray, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me? Amen. Doesn't that tell every one of us there's going to be days in the race when we're not going to want to run? Amen. We're going to get to the top of the hill and we're going to look across and we're going to go, whoa, I didn't see that coming. But what we going to do? We're going to run the race with endurance because Jesus endured the cross for the joy. What do we want to endure whatever our race brings to us for? Joy. We want to know we ran the race that was set before us. We did individually. We did collectively as a church what the Lord has set before us because he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We're going to fall down at his feet. We're going to fall down at his feet. And you know, I can't imagine that day. I've thought about it more than once. But I can't imagine the day that hope, that faith becomes a reality. Where we fall at his feet. But you know, there's a lot of wonderful, amazing things going to happen. We're going to thank him for dying for us. We're going to thank him for all the blessings that he has just poured out into our lives. We're just going to thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him. But not a single one of us is going to look at him and say, you gave me a task I could not complete. You called me to something that I couldn't do. And you ought to be ashamed of yourself, Jesus. Right? But I wonder how many are going to look up and say, Lord, can I please go back? Can I please go run the race that you have for me? Can I please go back now and do what you wanted me to do? If I would have just known, you know what the answer is? The answer is no. This is it. The Bible says it's appointed unto a man once to die and then judgment. This is it. This is the only opportunity that we have to live by faith. But listen, you can't live by faith and be burdened down by the cares of the world. You can't live by faith and be burdened down by the desire for riches. At some point, something has got to be first. Right? Something is first. And what the Bible is imploring us to do, pleading with us, compelling us to do, is run the race. Now, where does that race start? This is invitation, right? This is invitation. Where does it start? It starts by putting down the weights. It starts by dealing with the sin. Because until we do those two things, we're going to be stuck carrying them. We're going to be stuck under the weight of them. Who in the world wants that? Am I the only one that's like, no, I don't want that. But guess who gets to decide? We do. And you know what we're going to have? Exactly what we choose. Father God, as we bow before your throne of mercy and grace, God, I know that all across this room, Lord, there are people that know down in their heart that they are running their race. They're running the race that you have set before them. They're running it to the best of their ability. And God, they're doing what you want them to do. And I say, amen, praise the Lord, way to go. But Lord, there's also plenty of people in this room that have never even considered the course that you have for them. They've never thought about it. They've never wondered about it. And they've never prayed about it. And the reason is they knew they weren't going to do it. And so, God, I pray that you will use this time that we call this invitation. God, I pray that you will confirm to those that are doing exactly what you want them to. God, I pray that they will know beyond any shadow of a doubt they're living the life you want them to live. They're doing the things you want them to do. And I pray that they would just hear you say, keep on going. Keep on trucking. But God, for the others, I pray that you will break hearts, Lord. God, not in response to any message that I've preached, but in response to the reality that in eternity, we're going to bow at your feet. At some point, somehow, some way, we're just going to bow down before you. And God, I pray that every person in this room is going to make the decision right now. We're going to put the weight down. We're going to put the sin down. We're going to get on the track, the course that you want us to run, and we're going to run it for your glory. And it's in the blessed and holy name of Jesus that I pray. Amen and amen. As always, this altar is open. I am not naive. I know you can do business with God where you sit. The main thing is whether you do it there or you do it down here. Don't leave without being on the right track.